If you would continue to pray for Shan for his knee to heal. He really did want to be here today, but the pain is just too great, I think, and he needs a little more PT before he'll get back. So just pray that he'll be able to make it back next week, and that would be wonderful. If not, you'll have to put up with me again. And for that, I'm sorry. It's good to have so many here today on a day that is notable for the fact that we move an hour ahead and some of us forget to set our clocks. I'm glad you all didn't do that, but it's glad to have you here. I see a lot of friends that I've known for, oh my goodness, some of you for 60 years, I guess, or better, but it's good to have you all with us today, so thank you for visiting with us. Glad to have my family here. Chris and his wife Hannah, whom you've been praying for, is able to be with us this morning, and then Ellie and Jeremiah and Josiah are also here. But most importantly, I'm glad to see my wife sitting here. If she's here, that means I might do a good job, okay? If not, if she didn't show up, watch out. May I say to you this morning, shalom. Shalom. What does shalom mean? It means peace. That's what it means. It's a Hebrew word that means peace. I put out a message just on Facebook every morning. It's just a scripture. I don't do any commentary on it. I just put the scripture out. And I have noted that over the past several years that I've been doing this, I have more responses when I put a scripture out about peace than I do anything else that I choose to put in on the Facebook. And it's just amazing to me. So I decided a few weeks ago when Shan asked me to preach, well, I'm going to preach on peace. Little did I know the things that would be happening in our lives, our personal lives, that would try to rob us, Susan and myself and family, of peace that God gives us. So I chose to go ahead with it anyway and say, Lord, you've got this. You're going to have to guide me. You're going to have to give me the words to speak. And you can't speak anything better than the Word of God. So that's what I'm going to do today. I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Would you stand with me as I read this, please? Just to show that God, we love your Word, and we honor it, and we respect it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Allow me to back up two verses, okay? Because that's important as well. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, that's why I backed it up. The Lord is near. That's why we can have peace. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Paul says, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, we thank you for being the God of peace. We thank you for bringing us here together today. The world's in a mess, Father. You know that better than we do. It's full of chaos and turmoil, hatred and malice. And yet through all of that, you give us peace through your Son, Jesus. So bless us today, Father, with your word. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Be seated, please. Peace of mind. Peace of mind is something that we all desire, but is sometimes hard to attain, and even harder sometimes to hold on to. We want peace of mind. We want to be able to rest. We want to be able not to have to worry. We want to be able to enjoy the life that God has granted to us, the good life that he has given us. We want not to be burdened with the areas in this world and the life in this world that pull us down. We want to have the peace that passes all understanding. And so in this passage of Scripture, when we read the word peace, it doesn't just mean shalom, peace. It means shalom, shalom. In other words, God's peace. It's more than just simple peace. It's a deep peace. It's the peace that only God can grant to us. We don't want to be robbed of our vim and vigor and love for life. We don't want to have to worry about the things out in the world. We want to have this peace of mind that does pass all understanding. We want to be what God wants us to be. We want to just have peace, right? How many of you would like to have more peace? Now, may I say it to you right now? I'm not talking about peace between the United States and Iran. I'm not talking about peace between Russia and the Ukraine. I'm talking about peace between you and God. Peace between me and God. That's the peace of mind that I'm talking about in this sermon today. That's the kind of peace we long for. Although, I will admit that if everybody in the world sought this peace that God gives, the shalom, shalom, then there would be peace between all of these countries and all of these different peoples. How can we have true peace? I mean real peace in our lives, especially with all that's happening in our lives and in the world around us. Jesus in John 14:27 says, "My peace I leave with you. I do not give you the peace as the world gives, because the world gives peace through fighting. But God says, Jesus says, I'll give you my peace. So don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm giving you my peace." That's the kind of peace that I want, and I'm sure it's the kind of peace that you want as well. So where do we start? What do we do? Well, the best place to start is always with God. We start our peace with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God, having a relationship with Him. So three things this morning I share with you that will help us have peace. The first one is this: true peace comes through trust. True peace comes through trust. Now, the opposite of peace is doubt. And Satan's been the author of doubt ever since it was the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And he's been working on us ever since, all of humankind ever since. He works on us daily, trying to get us to doubt the promises of God, trying to get us to doubt that God loves us enough that He would allow His Son to die in our place. When we worry, and worry is a sin, worry is a sin. This is how Satan works. Worry is a sin. That's what I'm going to preach, because that's what I believe is true. Yesterday, I got to doubting that that was true. Is worry really a sin? I mean, we worry all the time. So I contacted three of my preacher theologian friends who are really smarter than I am, and they all gave me the same answer. Yes, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin when we allow that sin to conquer our faith. That's when it becomes a sin. We can be concerned. There's a difference between concern and worry. We can be concerned, but we don't want our faith to be diminished because we're worrying and we're not trusting in God enough. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin when we allow it to conquer our faith. When we worry, we are not trusting God enough. Verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious or worry about anything." Oh, but Larry, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. You don't know what I've been through. But God does. And when God says, don't worry about it, God means, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be biting your fingernails. The world is becoming an increasingly more dangerous place to live, and that's why it's harder for so many of us to live in safety or feel safe and to have peace. But peace consists not in the absence of conflict, but in the presence of God. That's where peace comes from. It comes from abiding in God, being close to God. That's where the peace comes from. You see, God hasn't given us this command to not worry without being able to carry it out. If God says it, and he says, Larry, don't worry, then God's going to give me the ability to not worry. If he didn't, it would make God a liar. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. Don't worry. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit who abides in us. You may think your dog is your best friend. You may think your wife or your husband is your best friend, or your child, or someone else is your best friend. But let me tell you, folks, the best friend you need is the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit living in your life because he controls. Now, there's nothing wrong with your dog, nothing wrong with your wife or husband, nothing wrong with any of those people being a good friend, a best friend. But the best friend of all is the Holy Spirit, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he's greater than anything the world can throw at us at any time in our lives. Boy, that's a hard concept to even accept. But it's true, because it comes from God. And God is a truthful God. He's given us the ability to overcome everything that happens in our life, to still have peace. With God's Spirit, we are able to trust God beyond our ability to know what will happen in our lives. Remember what 1 John 4:4 says? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Whenever Satan wants to cause you to doubt, whenever he wants you to be frightened, whenever he wants to steal your peace, you just said, hey, Satan, get out of here. Because the person who's living in me, the Holy Spirit who lives in me, is greater than you. So in the power of Jesus' name, leave me alone. Amen? Leave me alone, Satan, because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than you. God wants our anxiety. He wants to take the worry from us. God wants to take our worry and instead give us peace of mind. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. But the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. Which do you choose, anxiety and worry, or do you choose faith? Faith overcomes, folks. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety. That's the same word that we have in our text from Philippians. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He didn't say cast some of your anxiety on it. Now, my son and granddaughter came to the house yesterday and we watched Kentucky lose again. That's what we do mostly when we watch, is we watch them lose. We're big Kentucky fans. Sorry for you if you're not. You settle for second best. That's all right with us. I'll pay for that one. I don't even know what I was going to say. What was I going to say, Ellie? You don't know? You're supposed to say Kentucky. That was your job, to say, go Kentucky. What was I going to say? You all ever have that problem? I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's my mind is so full or I'm just so old. Richard, do you have this problem? Do you have almost all the time? Okay. I'm glad I can look forward to that, Richard, because I think you're a very godly man. What was I going to say? Who knows? It's one of those things, you don't put in your notes, you're in trouble. I know what it was. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14 in verse 1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Trust also in me. Now, why couldn't I remember that? Don't let your hearts be troubled, folks, with the burdens and cares of this world. We've got a greater life to go to, amen? We've got heaven to look forward to. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. I can hardly wait. I wish God would say, okay, son, it's time to go. Go gather my children, and we'd just all go up together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Leave all this behind us. to have the peace that endures for all eternity then. One way Susan and I get through the trials and ordeals and trials of the day is we try to give it to Jesus. Because Jesus says, I want your anxiety. I want your worry. I want to take your worry and replace it with peace. We have a box. Set it in our living room. And whenever we become worried, whenever we become overburdened with the cares of life, we take this little box and we put that thing in the box and snap it shut. We give it to God, in other words. That's symbolic of us giving our anxiety to God and letting Him take care of it when we snap it shut. I'll be truthful. There are times when I open it up. But I always remember eventually I've got to put it back because Jesus says, I want your anxiety. I'll take your anxiety. I can handle your anxiety and I can give you peace. God doesn't want us to worry because if we worry, it means we're not trusting in Him as we should. God is saying to us, folks, I will help you handle it, no matter what it is. This past Thursday was especially hard for Susan and I. I believe it was Thursday. Hannah, who is here with us, and you've been praying for Hannah for a long while now because she has cancer, had a scan, and now she knows that she is going to meet with the doctors and find out exactly what that scan says and where she's going to, whether or not she'll be able to have a clinical trial or not. And I know you're praying for that as well, and we thank you for that. We didn't hear from Chris. Well, we heard from him off and on during the course of the day, but we never heard the result of the scan until later in the evening. As you know, our grandson, Drew, our daughter's son over in Ohio, was hit by a bus and lost hearing in both ears. Now, we're grateful he's alive. Don't get me wrong. We're grateful he's alive. He can't hear anything. What is it the old fellow used to say, deaf as a board? He cannot hear a thing. He's 20 years old. He was hearing perfectly until that time. He was to go to the doctors on Thursday also and find out whether he could have a cochlear implant in his right ear and whether or not the hearing in his left ear would ever get better and what was wrong with it. He is going to be able to have a cochlear implant. Praise God for that. So he will be able to hear. The doctors examine this ear, and they examine this ear, the left ear, and they can't find one single thing wrong with it. So we're praying that eventually that will pop back into place, and he'll be able to hear again. We didn't hear from Drew until even later than we heard from Hannah. We, during the course of that time, were nervous and upset, and someone sent us a card. I didn't even get the mail out of the mailbox till almost 6 o'clock that night. Went out and saw there was a card there. It had Susan's name on it, took it to her, opened it up, she read it, and it was just exactly what we needed to hear that day. It was from Marissa Hendrickson. Can you believe that? As much as Marissa has gone through in her life, you know her better than I do. You know what she's been through. She thought to send us a card to say that she was praying for us. We got it on the very day when we were most down. God allowed that card to get to us. He used Marissa to send that card to us. There was a nice little personal note in it, and I've got the card with me, but I'll not read that part of it. But there was a passage of Scripture there from the New Living Testament, from Psalm 55:22, that says this, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will care for you." Wow. Just exactly what Susan and I needed to hear. So we took our burdens, put it in a box, and snapped it shut. And then we began to hear from Chris and Drew what had gone on that day. And it was good news. And we want to thank you all for your continued prayers. I have to say it. You all have been such a blessing to our family. You don't even know us very well at all, and yet you have poured out your love to us and our family. And your constant prayers and your help in every way has been such a blessing, and we cannot thank you enough for that. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the hands and feet of God. You've been working in our lives, and we know that you're praying for us. Put it in a box. Let God have it. He'll provide a way for you to get peace through every trial. Do you realize that probably 40% of the time, the things you worry about are never going to happen? It's true. 30% of the time, you're worried about things in the past that you can't go back and change or do anything about. But we worry about it, don't we? We hang on to it, and we shouldn't. 12% of the time, we worry about criticism that people have of us, critical things they've said to us, either to our face or behind our back. And we know those things aren't true, and yet they bother us, and we worry. 10% of the time, we worry about our health, which, may I say, when we worry, it just adds more stress to our lives, and stress is bad for health. Don't give in to that. So that leaves about 8% of the time we worry about something that really has meaning in our lives. Give it to God, snap it shut in a box, and walk away from it and say, thank you, God, because you took my anxiety and you're giving me peace. Secondly, true peace comes through praying. Praying is such an important part of a Christian's life. God cares about your life. He cares about my life. Again, in verse 6, it says, but in some things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Is that what it says? But in some things? No. No. He says, in all things, in everything. Doesn't matter whether it's small or big, monumental, or somewhere in between. In all things, he says, God will help us in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Everything that happens in our life is a concern to God. God is concerned about everything that goes on in your life and in my life, the big and the small, who to marry, what job to take, when to retire, even our hobbies, our leisure time. They are all important to God. The peace that God gives us will guard our minds. You see, this is where the battle's fought. The battle between right and wrong, salvation and being lost, is fought right here. Jesus paid the price for us. We just need to accept that and know that we're saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that God gives us will strengthen us. The peace that God grants us will assure us of His love and grace. No matter what's going on in our hearts, in our lives, whatever it is in our lives, God will give us the peace that we need to get through it. John MacArthur said, God can work peace through us only when He has worked peace in us. Think about that for a moment. God can work peace through us only when He has worked peace in us. In the presence of God, there's peace. How much of your day is spent in the presence of God? I'll tell you how much it should be, and the same for me, 24/7. 24/7, every day, we ought to be in the presence of God. And this peace is given through the cross of Christ. That's where it came from. When Jesus died on the cross for us, He not only gave us salvation, He not only gave us a better moral life, He not only gave us all of that, but He gave us a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know how I could have had peace last Thursday. It was driving me crazy until I was reminded by Marissa that God's got this. Larry, get into His presence. Be close to Him, and He'll hold you tight, and you can feel His loving arms around you. Jesus takes us there through His vicarious, all-sufficient, atoning sacrifice on the cross of Christ, where He shed His blood for our redemption. That is what Paul says in verse 6 of our text, with thanksgiving. That's why he says it. He says, when you make these requests, go ahead and thank God. I've gotten to where I'll say, Lord, I wish that you would... I tell you what, Mike Picklesheimer texted me last night, and a cousin's husband. Did he get the lung transplant?
Haven't heard,
okay. He texted me last night, and he said... if you would pray, he said he was praying for us to begin with, and he said, if you would pray for my cousin's husband who needs lungs and might be able to get them tonight, and if he gets the lungs, a double lung transplant, it would start at midnight last night. So I started praying for Michael, and this is what I've added to my prayer. Thank you, God, for answering it. Thank you. Thank you, God, for answering and giving this man the lungs that he needs. If not tonight, it will be tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it will be the next day. But thank you, God, for doing that. God wants us to thank Him and praise Him. When we get good news, we try to thank God as much as we ask for the good news. That's a lot. We just go around the house saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Because He answers so many of our prayers. In the presence of God, there is peace. That's where we want to be. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow and with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Back to the Holy Spirit again, you see? Full circle. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, as you are in His presence, in other words, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to practice the presence of God in our lives through prayer. For in God is true peace and joy. And when we pray, we should be remembering the love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish what is best for us. And finally, true peace comes through holiness. True peace comes through holiness. A holy life will make the deepest impression in someone else. When you're around other people, make sure you're living a holy life, because that's what they need to see. You can't be living like the world lives and say that you're holy and belong to Jesus. We're set apart. God set us apart through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life. And we need to be setting the example for those around us. We need to fill our hearts with what is good. Through Christ, our minds have been set free from slavery to sin. And in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Shalom. Life and peace. If all we do is watch and listen to the daily news and read the newspaper and magazines and fill our minds with everything that's bad going on in the world, then we're going to come to some negative conclusion about life. God's not a negative God. Now, I know this. I fully believe that we ought to keep up on the news so that we'll know as Christians who we ought to be praying for and how we ought to be praying. But day in and day out, the bad news will wear us down. It's like a spiral that just keeps going down and down and down. That's why we need to be in the presence of God. That's why we need His holiness in our lives, so that we can overcome the sinfulness that is in the world today. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. What is true? For those of you who know me, what is this? Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Get into the Word of God. Shan says that time after time after time after time. And he's right. This is powerful, folks. Get in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in you so it can change your life. The Bible is true. The Word of God is true. Whatever is noble, Whatever is of good character, Paul says. Whatever is right, whatever is righteous in God's eyes, whatever is correct in God's eyes, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, in other words, whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful. What is beautiful? God is beautiful. God's world is beautiful. Stay in those things. Think about those things. Whatever is admirable, whatever there is to admire in another person or another thing, admire those things. If anything is excellent, it's the best thing for us, is what he's saying. Think about the excellent things, the things that are best for us. Think about the praiseworthy things, those things that are worthy of our praise. Think about such things. And when we fill our minds with dark and depressing thoughts and images, we just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and sometimes even become depressed. So what we need to do is continually look up to God. I've said for years this slogan, keep looking up. It's the only way to go. Keep looking up. Keep looking up to God. Be in his presence. Live in his holiness. Allow his holiness to fill your life so that people will see you and they'll see Jesus. So we need to continually look up to God for our help and our strength and our peace, because that's where it comes from. We need to meditate or to think about God's word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 78, I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your teachings. In other words, what you have to say, God, I'll meditate on those things. I'll think about those things. And as we meditate or think about the teachings of God, we become stronger and we become more at peace. The teachings, the precepts of God, the teachings of God, we become stronger and more at peace with ourselves and with people who are around us. We need to meditate on the Word so that the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth and it is pure and it is excellent. We need to meditate on the Word of God so we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind to approve those things of God. Oh, how I long for peace, and I know you do as well. Peace will come as we meditate on the Word of God and stay in it. In your bulletin, I had a bulletin a minute ago. In your bulletin, thank you, whoever does the bulletin, for doing this. In the center section, there's a list of 31 days of scriptures that you can use that will help bring you peace. I'd encourage you to read those day after day after day after day. Read those. Now, these what's in the scripture? What's in the bulletin here is not going to do you any good if it stays in the bulletin. What you need to do is let it get into your heart. Let it get into your mind. Let it be something that helps you. These passages of scripture I turn to quite often when I feel like I'm losing the peace that God wants to give to me. You see, we need to be practicing our Christianity. Is there a difference between you and your neighbor if they're not a Christian? Is there? Is there a difference between you and family member who's not a Christian? Are you praying for them? Are you encouraging them by the life that you live? Are you trusting God to help them find salvation? Is there anyone on planet Earth that you want to see go to hell? Anyone at all? No. I'm calling a timeout. For those who know me, they know what that means. It doesn't count against my time preaching. Timeout. Because I want to tell you a story. Susan, who was an Adams, that was her maiden name. I always tell everybody she just added a Big Mac to her life. Susan and I were dating, and we went to a burger chef in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where we were living, where we were raised. Weren't married yet. We were just dating. Went to a burger chef. And there I saw somebody I hadn't seen for well over a year. It's my best friend. We just lost contact. He had a girlfriend. I had a girlfriend. We moved out to the county. He lived in Louisville in the same place. Just our paths didn't cross that much. I saw him and I said, "How are you doing, Butch?" His name's John Wesley Hill Jr., Methodist, John Wesley Hill Jr. I said, "I'm doing fine, Butch. How are you doing?" He said, "I'm okay." He says, "In 2 weeks, I go to Vietnam." I said, "What?" I said, "I didn't even know you joined." He says, "Yeah, my draft number came up." And he says, "In order not to be drafted, I went ahead and joined up and got with a friend. And we're in a, I don't understand it, but he said a two-man tank." Those of you who have been to Vietnam or been in the service, you may understand what that is. I don't. A tank that's just big enough for two guys, I guess. Anyway, he went to Vietnam. I got back out to the car, and I told Susan, I said, "You know, I have this strange feeling that I'm never going to see Butch again. Butch and I were a lot alike. We didn't always live for Jesus, not as teenagers. I wish I'd talked to him about Jesus." 3 months later, my dad calls me. I'm at Johnson Bible College. He says, "Butch was killed." Whew. I lived with that. I lived with it until one day his dad told me that somebody led him to Christ. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm going to try to hug him. He's going to punch me right in the nose and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that I needed to live better life for Jesus? So-and-so did, and he wasn't near the friend that you and I have been growing up." I don't know whether he'll do that or not. I hope he doesn't. No tears in heaven. I'd sure be crying them. But my friend, listen to me. If you know one single person in your circle of influence, your circle of friends, your circle of family who doesn't know Jesus, talk to them. Hell is for real and it is forever. There are no second chances. No second chances. The people in hell right now are begging God for a second chance, but they're not getting it. And people here on earth are going through second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, hundredth chance to accept Jesus, and they don't do it. Don't let anybody go to hell because you did not tell them about Jesus. They may get mad, or they may thank you, or they may just say, "Okay, thanks, I'll consider that." I don't know what they're going to do. But you got to try. There are too many people in this world who are dying and going to hell. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus died to save people from hell. And we need to tell them. True peace comes through practice. We should practice trusting God in everything we do, in everything we say. We should practice praying to God about everything because He cares about every single thing in our lives. And we should be meditating on God's Word, allowing it to sink in to our lives and our hearts and our minds. Folks, we may not be able to always change our circumstances or the world around us, but we can have a peace that transcends all understanding. We can lean on our Heavenly Father. Ultimately, this comes from allowing God to overrule in our lives. Let me tell you one more little story, then I'll quit. I haven't gone too far past what Shan did. Maybe half hour. Susan and I first got married. We lived in Mount Summit, Indiana. We've been in Indiana most of our married lives. Still not a Hoosier fan, sorry. I chose Purdue over Indiana, but I'm not much of a Purdue fan either, if you want to know the truth. We moved to Mount Summit, Indiana. I was the man of the house. I was the boss. I was the guy that thought he was the man of the house and thought he was the boss. I took care of the finances. For 2 years, I took care of the finances. We kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And Susan says, "You want me to try?" And I said, "Sure." Within 6 months, we were out of debt. She's been in charge of my finances ever since. Folks, trust in each other. Trust in God most of all, but help each other with their difficulties in life. Marissa did that for us. Marissa, I'm sure, does not feel well at all today, does she? She never feels good. But she reached out. Reach out to people and let them know that you love them, and let them know that God loves them, and allow God to overrule in your life and their life as well. Put your worry and your anxiety in a box. And if you don't have a box, take it and go, boom, it's in the box. I just locked it in my box and I'm not getting it back out. Because Jesus wants to give you a peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7 says, and I close with this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," all understanding, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." One more time I say it, folks. Give your worry and your problems to God. He wants them, because peace is just a snap away. Peace is just a prayer away. Peace is just trusting God. I don't know what happens to you in life. Hey, I'm not as old as Shan, who's older than dirt. Isn't that right, Richard? I'm not as old as Shan. But I don't know when I'm going to go, when I'm going to leave this life. Like I said, I'm ready to go right now. If it happens in the pulpit, it happens in the pulpit. It's fine with me. You may be 2, 20, 40, 60, 80, 93. I don't know. But God's going to call you home someday. Be ready. Allow Him to give you the peace that you can enjoy in life today, until that time comes when you meet face to face the Prince of Peace, Jesus, who is the Christ. Who is the Christ? If you're outside of Christ this morning, He wants you to come and accept Him. Confess before men His beautiful name. Repent of wrongdoing in your life. Be baptized, be immersed for the remission of sin. Gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, and live for Him, and He will give you peace. There'll be troubles, there'll be trials, there'll be hardships, but you can have peace, and you will just marvel that you can be in the middle of something that's so terrible, so bad, so awful, and yet feel at peace, because Jesus is your peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to You, we thank You because You are in the God of all creation. We are made in Your image, Father, and we thank You for that. And we know that Your Son indeed is the Prince of Peace. And we know, Father, that as we trust in You and give ourselves to You and live in Your presence, we will have that peace that passes all understanding. The world can be a chaotic mess, Lord, and it's going to be, because there's not going to be peace in this world, not the peace that man thinks they can have, but we can have peace, peace with You and peace with ourselves, and we thank You for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're going to be singing our hymn of decision, which is somewhere here. Which one is it? Pass me not, okay? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Two verses?
Two.
Two? Let's be standing. Please come forward if you have a decision to make today. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let me
now a throne of mercy find a sweet relief.
Help my unbelief.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I want to thank our music team for choosing songs about peace. I hope when you leave this building you'll have peace. Peace that passes anything you can comprehend, because it comes from Jesus. And if you've got that peace, I know you have Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I hope you'll let me do it again someday, although it makes me a nervous wreck. And I'll try to be shorter next time, but I won't. But I'll try. But thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Continue to pray, please, for all who are on our prayer list. Thank you for all that you do for my family. You are such a blessing, and I can't thank you enough. Let's close with prayer, shall we? Father, because of your great love for us, we have peace. The world is fighting. The world is in turmoil. Things are not going well anywhere in this world right now, Father, except right here in our hearts and our minds. We have peace. And that's all because of Jesus and what he has done for us. Thank you, Father, for that. Bless us as we retire from this building, that we give you glory and honor that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. God bless you. Over here. Okay.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Thank you.